First of all, I just start us off by saying welcome to the start of our missions conference weekend. We're looking forward to all that we have lined up for this weekend, so appreciate you being here today for this. We have with us today Reverend Jagar Shinavan, who is visiting with us this weekend. He's been in Greenville before because he attended the Greenville a seminary here, and so we're glad to have him back. Jagar is he was educated as an engineer and worked for a few years in the noble profession of engineering, and then he was called to the ministry and attended Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, and is currently in Northern Virginia forming an Asian Indian Presbyterian church in that area. And I'll let Jagar fill in all the gaps between what I've just said. So I will turn the program over to him now, and he can bring us the message. So again, welcome everybody, and welcome Jagar.
First of all, I want to thank you all for inviting me here. And secondly, thanks for praying for me and my family, especially during this difficult time. I really appreciate that. Some of you might be golden boys in your home. And I was a golden boy in my family, just like Joseph. I was the eldest son in my family, and both my parents loved me very much, and they provided me everything that I needed. But then I was not a golden boy in the sight of God. I was a Hindu, but today I thank God that, in fact, I'm a golden boy. I'm an adopted son of God, and I really thank God for that, and truly I can say, like Paul, that I'm the chief of all sinners. I'm the great sinner, unworthy of Christ's salvation. But by grace, through faith in Christ, God has saved me. Well, I'm Jagar Shinavan, I graduated from Greenville Seminary, and I'm trying to do a church plant in Virginia. I was from a Hindu family. I was born and raised in the Hindu family. I would not leave the house without putting the white holy ash, which was made out of dung, cow dung, on the forehead. And I would follow my parents to the temples. Didn't know anything about Hinduism. Because I was born in a Hindu family, I had to follow them. And from young, I was taught this phrase, born as a Hindu, die as a Hindu. That was in my heart. And then there was one time, there was a funeral beside our house. And then I was very curious, what happened to the person who died? So I asked my father, Dad, what happens to a person after death? And he said, well, they go to heaven. And I asked this question because I feared death. I feared death. And I feared death for many years, even after receiving that answer. I learned about Buddhism, Christianity at the primary school. But then still, no religions satisfied me. I was still searching for truth. But then we were living in a low-cost public housing area. We were living in a one-room flat. And that neighborhood, in that neighborhood, Salvation Army moved in, and they established a a church there in a shop house. And the pastor of that Salvation Army church was an Indian pastor. So he came to our neighborhood and he invited us to the church. And it was a school holiday period. He said, "What are you all doing at home? Come to the church. We have games for you." And then he invited me and my teenage friends, neighbors. So we would just go to the church and play games. Then gradually, the pastor invited us to the Sunday school. And then slowly, to the worship services. I would just wear a short and t-shirt to the church, because if you know Salvation Army, they didn't care your attire. And there I began to hear the gospel in Salvation Army. I realized I was a sinner, and there was no other way to salvation except faith in Jesus Christ. And this was not one time or twice. Continually I was hearing that. Though I was a Hindu, I still would go to the church on Sunday. And gradually, of course, I memorized John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That stuck to my heart. One time, after worship service, I came back home. And my father came to know that I went to a worship service, I went to the church, and he was very upset and angry. And on that day, he took the chair and swung the chair to beat me, and he asked me to get out from the house. He was that angry. I was upset too. Then I left the house, not knowing where to go. And then before midnight, I came back home, because surely my father would receive me. And after that, our relationship was okay. But being a Christian, I felt a kind of persecution, because if my relatives don't see me at the temple, they would start to question, "Where is your son? Where is your eldest son?" And therefore, I would always follow my parents to the temple. I would be forced to worship the idols. In fear, I would do that. Then I went to the polytechnic. There was a campus Crusade for Christ organization, and they would always come around sharing the four spiritual laws. At that time, I haven't professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I knew that Christ is a true God, and that truth was pressing on me, that I was not openly professing faith in Christ. So on that day, I felt so uneasy and kind of guilty for not professing faith in Christ. So I saw a brother from Campus Crusade approaching me, and then he asked me whether he could share the four spiritual laws, and then I said okay. And then he shared the four spiritual laws with me. But somehow by then I was ready. Or perhaps I might have been converted. I don't know. Together with that brother on that day, we prayed. And since then, I was more committed to Christ. It was very meaningful attending church and the Sunday schools. So I became very active in the church. I served in the Campus Crusade for Christ, and also I served in the Salvation Army. In the Salvation Army, I served as a youth leader and then a council member, and then later on leading Tamil worship services. Then I began to sense a call for ministry. So, along with me, there was another teenage friend who attended the church from my neighborhood. He became a pastor in the Salvation Army. On the day of his commissioning, in Salvation Army, they would ask anybody who who like to become a full-time minister, you may raise your hand. We will pray for you. I think by then I was thinking of getting into ministry. So I just raised my hand and they prayed. But after that, I didn't think much about that. But my friend approached me and said, would you like to consider Operation Mobilization's Love for Europe campaign in Europe? Maybe you can try out. What is the mission feel like? Maybe you might be interested. So I said, okay. So I went and attended a conference in Belgium, and then we proceeded to England to do ministry. 1 week in Belgium and 3 weeks in England, and we were going door to door and all those kind of things. So that gave kind of exposure to mission work. When I returned, things changed. I procrastinated ministry and I came to the United States to study electrical and electronic engineering at the University of Oklahoma as soon as. After that, I returned home and worked as an engineer for several years. I worked in the hard disk industry, companies like Seagate, Maxtor, Western Digital. So I had opportunities to come to the U.S., to the Silicon Valley. Then after that, I proceeded to work in ST Microelectronics. And that was the last job. But when I returned from U.S. after studies and I was working in the companies, my mother asked me to marry, to get settled down. And it was a very difficult time because my mother was pushing me. And I told her this, "Mother, I need to tell you two things. I'm a Christian, so I cannot marry a Hindu girl. I can only marry a Christian girl. Number two, when you or dad dies, I cannot participate in any of the Hindu rites." My mother was very shocked and she was upset. But later on she understood concerning the rites. And that's why she told my younger brother, "If anything happens to father or mother, it is you who's going to do the rite. Elder brother will not do it." So, and that was good. That's why when I returned to Singapore, at the beginning of this week, I did not participate in any of the rites. My younger brother was doing them. So, my mother was looking for a bride for me. Hi, sir. And it was very interesting. There was a function organized by the Salvation Army Church, and my good friend was a pastor, and he invited Jemima's uncle and auntie. And my mother approached them, and she poured out her feeling about me, and they said, okay, they will try to find. And they went back home, and they had Jemima in their mind. Jemima's father was a pastor, and at that time, he was considering to come to the United States in Michigan to do his doctorate studies. And they were thinking, where should they put her daughter safely with? And that's why they were also considering marriage for Jemima. And after hearing that, Jemima's father came to see me. It is always the bridegroom's side who would go to the bride's side. But that was in reverse. He came to see me and interviewed me, and he was very pleased. So after that, things went very quickly. And we got married, and then I started to attend Bible Presbyterian Church. At the Bible Presbyterian Church, my father-in-law again asked me whether you would be interested to serve in the BP Church. At that time, I had a difficulty because since I came from Salvation Army, we were taught not to believe in infant baptism, Lord's Supper, And that was kind of difficult. And then I told my father-in-law, the pastor, give me some time, give me some time. It was towards his death. He was contracted with leukemia. He was in the hospital. It was during that time that I went to him, Pastor, I'm interested in coming into the ministry, because this is the sense of call I had many years and I procrastinated, and now it has become much stronger. And then he heard me. After that, he died. He died. But on the day of the funeral, his good friend, a Chinese pastor who studied at Covenant Seminary, he did the eulogy, and he mentioned that my father-in-law spoke to him about me coming to ministry, and my father-in-law instructed him to find me a good seminary and guide me into coming into ministry. And after the eulogy, all my relatives flocked to me, so when are you coming to ministry, and so on. So it was like a no turning back, no turning back. So my father-in-law's friends suggested a few seminaries like Covenant Seminary and RTS. And at that time, I was looking for a seminary, and my brother-in-law, who was a pastor in Scotland, he recommended GPTS out of nowhere. Never heard of that. And I started to find more information and liaised with our registrar, Mrs. Kato. So again, it was a difficult decision to make, because I was doing very well in the company. I was earning well, and my mother was happy. But I had to prepare my mother 1 year prior to coming into ministry. And I told her that I'm going to ministry, I'll be resigning from my job 6 months' time. And she was very upset. But it is God's calling. And again, I need to tell you something. When I got married to Jemima, in the first week, I shared with her that God has placed this call in me to come into ministry, to become a pastor. She was very shocked, because she said, I never wanted to marry a pastor, and that's why I married you. So she also has no turning back. But it was a good thing that I prepared both my mother-in-law, mother and my wife. So 6 months' time, I submitted my resignation. And my bosses were also upset with me. They were saying that, Jega, you are making a foolish decision. You're doing very well here. You're going to be promoted soon. Well, I need to heed the call. And they came to my house to convince my wife. At the same time, that suddenly I started to have companies calling me to take up this position and that position. I said to my wife, why now? Is Satan working hard to prevent me coming into ministry? So anyway, I resigned and came to the U.S. For 1 year, I was alone without my wife and child, and I was studying at GPTS. So this is my story, and this is God's story, how he got me into the ministry. And God has placed in my heart a great burden to minister particularly to the Hindus, of course to all unbelievers, but particularly the Hindus, because I was a Hindu before, and Hinduism is not a religion, it is a culture that is ingrained in them. Every day they are just doing Hinduism, the way of their life, walking in darkness, having their own philosophies, man's inventions and imaginations. They are really in the Babylonian captivity. they need to be redeemed. There are more than 1.34 billion Hindus in this world next to the Chinese population. So that's why I have a great burden for them. This is my prayer that God would have mercy on them to bring into the kingdom of God. I've been working with the Hindus the last 3 years in the Herndon area. It is not easy. They are the most hardcore people, we can say. Only God can break their hearts and change the heart of stone into heart of flesh. And that's why, my dear friends, I need your help. I need your support in prayer, especially to reach out to the Hindus. It is also my desire that the Americans will have the interest in the Indians. I know we need to minister to the Muslims, the Buddhists, and so on. But my plea is this, please do not leave out the Hindus. I also want to thank God how he brought me into Greenville Seminary. I was sharing with Pastor. Without coming to the seminary, I wouldn't have known much about the Bible. Before coming to the seminary, I would say I knew zero except for the gospel, about the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. I didn't know much about the doctrines. I've never heard of Confession of Faith and Shorter Catechisms too. So it is at the seminary that I was equipped with all these things. And especially, I really uphold the doctrine of justification by faith alone. That has really freed me, that I will not go to heaven by doing good works, but just trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ in his person and work. So I praise God for that. Thank you. That's all I have for now, but if you have questions, you may ask. The one behind raised first. If you know the Hindus, they are very proud that they are Hindus because they think they are special people. They think their Hindu God is the only true God and others are false. And they also believe that their religion was the first in the whole earth. And this is what I was talking to one educated person during the funeral. And he was talking about all these things. And I wanted to share the gospel, but another pastor said, my friends, this is not the right time to talk about this because my mother was lying there. So, it is very difficult, but I always want to share the gospel. That's what the Bible says. I don't know what will appeal to them, but I trust in the gospel because that's what the gospel is saying. Even Sunday morning I'll be preaching on that. What was Luke teaching us from Christ? Tell them about Christ's death and resurrection, his suffering and resurrection. And not only that, tell them about repentance and forgiveness of sins. And that's what I desire to do, because if I don't tell them this, then I'm not telling the gospel. So I'm not sure what are the creative way will make them to be interested in Christ, except this way. So I trust in this promise in gospel.
Jagar, tell us a little bit about your church. Do you have converted Hindus coming, and do you have non-converted that come that you're witnessing to and sharing your faith with?
Okay. So the last 3 years had been a groundbreaking work. We were trying to get connections with people because we didn't know much about this place. And initially we moved there thinking that some recently converted Christians would help us, but they didn't help us. So we have to start from scratch, making connections. So the last 3 years were very difficult because all we were getting were Pakistanis, Spanish people, Vietnamese, and this kind of people. Only one Christian, Tamil-speaking family. So in fact, I had worship service in both English and Tamil together, and it was very challenging. Because Pastor Robin said that when you move there, you must have worship service and preach the word. And I believe in that. So we didn't have place, so we started from the home. So we used to have 15, 17 people coming. And I was wondering, that was good. But people were coming with different motives. Some were coming there to get some financial help. Some were coming there to instill their own style of worship and preaching. And that I realized that in church planting, this will happen in the first few years. So we didn't cease conversion because all the people who were coming they called themselves to be Christians, but they were not reformed or deep in the truth. When we moved to the Jerusalem Korean Baptist Church, which was away from our home, the attendance dropped because it was far, and maybe 12, 13 people used to come. Some of them, their faith was not strong, and due to some other reasons, they left. So now we only have few people. There was one dedicated guy who's a Pakistani. He has been sticking with me for the last 3 years, his family. We have one family from our mother's church who come, and my family. On and off, some people would look at the internet, the website, and they would drop in. And those who drop in are Christians, and again, they want the worship service to be similar to the one in India, like extra biblical revelation and all this kind of thing. Even last week, we had one girl. She just saw the internet and she dropped in. So we do not know whether she would stick with us. So at the same time, you're looking at ways how we can get into the network of the Indians in Herndon. And so we organized a vacation Bible school last year in Herndon itself. About 34 children turned up. Initially, we didn't have any response, but God's providence, later on, they showed up. So through that vacation Bible school, we got to know three families. And now we are working with those three families. One family, they see something in the Christians. And the father said, I want to send my daughter and learn the Bible, although they are Hindus. So that girl has been attending our Bible study for children and led by Jemima. So I'm still working with the other two, all the three families, I'm still working with them. I'm hoping to get more connections through these families because all these Indians are connected with WhatsApp or messaging. And we are planning to get into that network. So we organized a Christmas dinner for children, and people showed up. And again, we want to organize an Easter event for the people in Herndon. Why we are doing this is because we want to stay connected with these people and to increase our connection. And I'm very positive that we would have more people. Another obstacle is that we are living far away from Herndon. And we are planning to move into Herndon by end of this year. We want to be in the midst of the Indian people there. Yes. Again, Herndon?
Where is Herndon? Not sure where that is.
Okay, right now we are living in Centerville. So Herndon is northwest. It is very near to Dallas International Airport. We are 15 minutes away. Herndon is like maybe 5 minutes or 3 minutes. 5 minutes probably.
What has attracted a large Indian population to that area?
I don't have that figure, but there are 40,000 Indians in Fairfax County. And we didn't have the accurate figures, who are these 40,000 Indians? Because in Fairfax County, we have the Sikh people, the Patel people, and together with them, we have the Telugu speaking, Tamil speaking, Hindi speaking. So it's a very good mix. While we were doing Vacation Bible School, we went door to door, and that's where we found where are all these Indians located, in Herndon. It's like a mini town. We used to have Korean town, Chinese town, but this is a little India there. And we only found out last year during summer. So now we know where is the exact location, and we are moving to that place.
After you're moving to live there?
Yeah. And all those people who are living there, they are mainly IT professionals. IT professionals, yeah. And there's a very good mix of Tamil speaking, Telugu speaking. So initially I wanted to minister to Tamil speaking Hindus, but now I have to change the objective. We need to target the Indians, yeah. So I need to conduct my service in English. So later on, I'm hoping to have in Tamil, because that's the language I speak to here.
Are there any other people trying to minister to the Hindus here that you're aware of? Any other churches in the area there?
That's an interesting question, because I'm a member of the Potomac Presbytery, and they are aggressive in church planting. And it seems that their focus is multi-ethnic group and so on. And if I dig in further, their goal is to reach out to the white and the blacks and the Spanish-speaking people. The Indians are not in the target yet. So that's my burden also, you know. That's why we named our church as the First Asian Indian Press. So that by looking at the name, the Indians would get interested to come, yeah. So I don't see any churches having sole interest in reaching out to the Indians there.
Are there other Christian groups? Surely the Pentecostals are involved. Non-Presbyterian groups, church planting, or mission work there? Or no? You're it.
They are not particularly paying attention to the Indians, yeah, no. But there are some Tamil-speaking, not Tamil-speaking, Telugu-speaking Baptist church in Ashburn area, but not in the Herndon area or Chantilly area. So that's why I thought that's a good location for establishing a church.
another question. Yes.
Do you find that the Indians that come to this country are less interested in Hinduism or practicing and are more interested in their success as careers? All the Patels, of course, are Gujarati and own the Patels.
Correct.
So their God is not Hinduism, it is money.
Mm-hmm.
So they learned that very well from our capitalism.
So anyway, I see two groups of people. There are some Hindus still practicing Hinduism, though they do not know what they are practicing. There's another group, you will find idols in their home. They would look very pious. But then when I start conversation, I don't believe in this. Yeah. So that's why one of the family that I'm interested to minister, the head of the family, he doesn't believe in Hinduism, but he's not also interested in Christianity, but I think it's a good opportunity to minister to him. I said, one day we should meet in the Starbucks or something, we'll talk. Yeah. They have the idols, but he doesn't believe. Yeah.
What do they believe about creation? What does Hinduism teach about how we're here, and how does that compare with Christian? I'm sure it's quite different.
Frankly speaking, I don't know, and I've never asked them about creation. But I've spoken to some of the Hindus. It seems that they also believe in evolution.
Thanks for being here with us and us getting to know you a little bit better. One thing I failed to mention when we started is what Jagar and his family have been through this past week. Unfortunately, Jagar's mother passed away earlier this week. And since Monday evening, Jagar and family have traveled to Singapore, back to Virginia, left Virginia at 3 o'clock this morning, and just arrived here. So be praying for them as we plan on putting them to work this weekend here at our missions conference. So thank you, Jagar, and why don't I close this time with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we are here and celebrating missions over this past weekend. We thank you for Jagar, and we ask your blessings upon his ministry. We ask your blessings upon his family as they've gone through the death of Jagar's mother this past week. We just lift them up to you and pray for them that you will sustain them during this time. And we thank you so much for the way that you have called him out of Hinduism, and that he has a heart for the Hindu people to tell them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that. We ask your blessings on the rest of the weekend as we do celebrate missions here at Second Presbyterian Church, and thank you for that opportunity. And Father, I pray that you'll be with us as we leave here. Give us safety in our travels home and back tonight. And we lift these things up to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.